And what a blessing to get to hear them. Well, I'm very grateful for what God has given us today, but I'm also grateful for the men that serve here. And I'm thankful for Brother Daniel Wakefield, the work that he does, and God is using his life and his family. And then I'm also grateful for Brother Kyle Snyder and Anna and the blessing they've been to our church as they've been here for these years. He's a faithful servant of the Lord, and I'm grateful for all that God is using him to do. And I've asked him to preach tonight, and I know there'll be a blessing to you. So I'm so grateful to get to serve with him. And so, Kyle, would you come preach to us tonight?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Well, if you want to take your Bibles and go to the book of Deuteronomy tonight, And as you turn there, we're going to talk about a man named Moses. All right, Moses. And Pastor asked me to preach tonight. And so I was praying about what to preach about. And it kind of happened both in junior church. We had just kind of walked through Moses's life in the junior church time with the kids upstairs. But then also in my personal Bible reading, I just read through Deuteronomy, and I had finished the last chapter, chapter 34, which is where we're turning tonight, Deuteronomy 34, and so kind of all came together, and so as I was praying about what the Lord would have me speak, I got coming back to Moses, and tonight I want to look at the last three verses here, and talk a little bit about what made Moses a special person. If you would, start in verse number 10 with me, we'll read down through verse number 12. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all the mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. The beginning of verse number 10 there, it talks about, and there rose not a prophet since in Israel. The people always like to argue, right? And sometimes they argue for argument's sake. And they'll talk about who's the best or who's the greatest, right? And you'll hear this a lot of times in sports. Who is the greatest of all time, right? Who is the GOAT? And they'll argue between different people. Was LeBron James or is Michael Jordan? Who's the greatest basketball player of all time? Or is it Pele or Messi or Ronaldo? Who's the greatest soccer player, right? You'll get these arguments about who's the greatest. And you can even hear some arguments, maybe in a Bible college. Sometimes you'll hear Bible college students arguing, who's the greatest person who ever wrote a book in the Bible? Or who's the greatest prophet or whatever? And here it talks about Moses, and there wasn't someone that was like him. But at the end of the day, what we realize about this is Moses was very special. He was specially used by God. And in this passage, we're going to see the two main reasons why Moses was a special man of God, and how that applies to you and me. The first thing's at the end of verse number 10. If you look, it says, whom the Lord knew face to face. One of the things that made Moses a special person, a specially used person of God, was the fact that he had a walk with God, and that he knew how to get a hold of God. If you turn back to Exodus 33, keep your place there in Deuteronomy, but Exodus 33, we'll see a story here, and Moses has led the children of Israel out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness. They go to Mount Sinai, and God has been leading them, the power of the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and he leads them to Mount Sinai, and when he gets there, God has Moses go to the top of Mount Sinai, where God is going to give Moses and Israel the Ten Commandments. Israel is there waiting for Moses, and they start wondering, where's Moses at? When's he going to come back? Is he going to come back? What's happened to Moses? He's taking a long time. Maybe Moses has died. What's going on here? So they're getting a little bit nervous, and so they go to Aaron, Moses' brother, and they say, hey, I think we need to come up with our own plan. So this is what we want to do. Would you make us an idol to worship? Make us a god. Aaron goes along with the plan and gets some gold from him and makes a golden calf to which the Israelites worship. Moses comes down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and he starts hearing something. And as he gets closer, he sees what's going on. He sees that Israel is worshiping this false god. Moses has to deal with this situation, and God punishes them. And then Moses goes before God and cries out on Israel's behalf for forgiveness. God has dealt with them, but he says, Moses, I'm not going to be going with you like I had been. Moses and Israel are kind of defeated by this, and they're going to cry out to God one more time and ask him, would you go with us? Moses goes to a tent, a tabernacle, and that's where we're at in verse number 9, chapter 33. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloud pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Look at verse number 11, the first part. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Here, God speaks to Moses face to face, like a friend would talk to another friend. What an amazing thing this is. The opportunity. See, Moses knew how to get a hold of God. This wasn't something that he had never done before, and then all of a sudden he started talking to God. No, he had talked to God before this. In fact, there's many times where Moses would be overwhelmed and didn't know what to do, but he would go back to God, which is what he ought to do. But Moses talked to God as a friend would talk to a friend. What about for you and I? When we pray, are we talking to God like we're talking to a friend? A lot of times I'm afraid that Christians, they approach God kind of like a kid goes to their dad and says, hey, dad, this is what I want. And dad, I have this problem. Can you fix it for me? And this thing broke. Can you fix that? And we go to God with our wish lists and our desires. But Moses could talk to God like a friend would talk to a friend. We have that ability to go to God and ask and talk and have a relationship with him. Moses talks to God. But this is something that Moses had to do regularly to get to a point where he could talk to him like a friend would talk to a friend. Someone who has this and talks to God and has this closeness with God, it takes both time and intentionality. What do I mean by that? Think about my sophomore year is the first year that I met Anna. Met Anna in a class, and eventually I realized, hey, I need to get to know this girl. And if I said that, all right, I need to get to know this girl, and okay, it takes time and intentionality, but I'm going to give it some time. So I wait. I give it time, right? A couple weeks pass by. I'm giving it time. But I'm never intentional about getting to know her or asking her any questions. I just give it a lot of time. By the end of the semester, am I going to know her very well? Am I going to be close to her? No, it takes some intentional effort, right? But if I don't give it any time and I only go up and give intentional effort and I walk up to her out of the blue, not spending any time with her, and walk up and say, all right, tell me your deepest, darkest secret. Let me know everything about you. What's she going to say? No, you're weird. Get out of here. I don't want to talk to you, right? Exactly. It takes both time and intentional effort. And sometimes Christians, we approach God that way. We say, okay, well, we just need to give it time. I got saved when I was 5 years old, and I think as a five-year-old and a kid, I kind of thought that, okay, well, one day when I get to be my parents' age, I'll just be a super Christian magically because time has gone on. But that's not true, is it? We have to be intentional. But then some Christians, in the other flip of that, they say, well, I really need God this weekend, so I'm going to be really intentional for a day and a half to try to really get to know God. But they don't give it time every day of spending time with God. There's a balance there. And the wonderful thing is as we seek to get to know God, God comes to us. It's not that God's trying to hide from us. But if we're going to have that close walk with God, it takes time and intentional effort. Every day, for week after week after week, we have to be intentional to wake up and say, hey, God, I'm going to get to know you today. I'm going to spend time with you. Moses was intentional to get to know God. One of the things that made Moses a special servant of God, someone that was used in such a mighty way as Moses was, is he walked with God. He knew how to get a hold of God. Well, let's look at the second thing that made Moses a special individual. Turn back to Deuteronomy 34. Look at verse number 11 and 12. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to, what's that next word? Do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all the land and all the mighty hand and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Well, the second thing we see tonight of why Moses was special was he did what God called him to do. Now, was Moses afraid? Well, if you remember the story, right? Moses had, he was in the desert taking care of sheep because he was on the run because he had murdered an Egyptian. And God speaks to him from a burning bush and says, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to tell the people that God has said, or I want you to tell Pharaoh that God has said, let my people go. And Moses, when he heard that, he said, I can't do that. What if the Israelites don't listen to me? What if they don't listen to me? And God said, no, I'm going to be with you. And Moses said, but I can't really speak very well. Whoa, I can't do this. God said, no, hold up. I made your mouth. You can do it. Moses had fear, but even though he had fear, he still did it, didn't he? Sometimes we can let fear keep us from doing what God has called us to do. We say, I don't really know if I can teach that class. I don't know if I can work with that age group. I'm not sure about that. I'm a little bit afraid to go out on a Saturday because I don't really know what to do if I start talking to somebody at the door. I've never done that before. I'm nervous to talk to my coworker about Jesus because I don't know what they'll think about me, and I'm afraid of it. And we let fear keep us from doing what God has called us to do. But we have to remember what God told Moses. Moses, I made your mouth. I can help you. The same is true for us. If God calls us to do something, God's going to enable us to do it. He's going to help us to accomplish what he calls us to do. Doesn't mean we don't have fear. It doesn't mean that we don't know exactly what to do, but it means that we trust God every step of the way. Moses goes to Egypt and he goes before Pharaoh and says, God has spoken. He said, let my people go. And Pharaoh, of course, said, no, we're not doing that. And so God, through Moses, allowed some plagues to be sent. The Nile River was turned to blood. Frogs were sent, lice, flies, diseased livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and finally the death of the firstborns throughout the land. After finally that last plague, Pharaoh allowed the people. He says, get out of here. We don't want you here anymore. He sends them out. And we look at that story, and we didn't take a lot of time to talk about how all of this developed, but I'm sure many of you know the story of this and these different plagues and things. But as we look at that, we think, wow, Moses was incredible. He did all of those things. But Moses wasn't the one doing them. It was God doing them. See, the reason Moses got to see such mighty works through his life was because he knew how to get a hold of God and because he did what God told him to do. In your life and in my life, do you want to see God do mighty things through you? You're not going to get called to go to Egypt and talk to Pharaoh about leading the children of Israel out. But God is going to call you to do some things. He might have you teaching in a class or doing this or that. He's going to have you witness to some people because that's what all Christians are supposed to be doing, telling people the gospel. And if God calls us to do that, you want to see God do something mighty through you, you got to do the same things that made Moses special. You got to learn how to get a hold of God. You got to walk with God every day. Every day you got to get to know him. And you got to do the things that God calls you to do. There's a little bit of encouragement here, and this is the encouragement. Moses was not a perfect person. He messed up. And that's an encouragement because I'm not a perfect person either. And neither are you, right? Moses was a faithful servant of God, but not a perfect one. And even in this chapter, chapter 34, he gets to see the promised land. But he doesn't get to go in because he did make mistakes and did mess up. But the wonderful thing is we have a God who never makes mistakes, who never messes up, who's always faithful. And we never have to fear or doubt or wonder, is God going to come through? Is he going to help me this time? What about what's coming up next? What about the thing he's calling me to do? We never have to worry because we know that we serve a faithful God. So do you want to be a specially used person of God? Like Moses was, you got to do the two things that Moses did. You got to walk with God, learn to get a hold of him, talk to him, have him talk to you, and then do what he calls you to do. If you'd stand to your feet and bow your heads and close your eyes, I just want to take a minute and ask a couple questions. The pianist are going to come, the musicians are going to come and play. And As they play, I just want to ask a couple questions. As they play, let me ask you this. If you're in here, maybe the Lord's speaking to you about your walk with Him. Maybe the Lord is saying, hey, you need to be more intentional about your time and your effort you're putting into your walk with Him. Oh, there's lots of priorities out there, but the number one priority in our life needs to be our walk with God. Maybe there's somewhere that God has been speaking to you about something you need to do. He's been calling you to do it, and you've been letting fear keep you from doing it. Maybe it's witnessing to somebody or serving in a ministry or doing something else. Whatever it is, would you tonight say, I'm going to surrender and do what God has called me to do. I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to do it this week. I'm committing to God that I'm going to do that thing. You can do that at your seat. You can come up here to the altar, wherever, but would you do business with God tonight?
Amen. Good job. As they continue to play, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Brother Daniel's right down here in front of the pulpit that was preached from. Need somebody to pray with you, he'd be glad to do that. Maybe you've got something heavy in your heart and you'd like to have somebody labor in prayer with you, then you please feel free to step out and come. Maybe you're here and there's something that the Lord is definitely putting on your heart. You say, I need to just be faithful to do it. I need to obey. Maybe it's that walk with the Lord that Brother Kyle talked about. You're lacking consistency. You just need to give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to have a consistent walk with you. I'm grateful for the on times, but I want to be not on again, off again. I want to be consistent. Whatever your need is, we always challenge you to do what God leads you to do. If you're here tonight, not certain that you're on your way to heaven, my friend, please step out. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be certain of that, please, we would ask. We'll play one more verse. God leads you to come, you come. If you pray there in your seat, pray there in your seat. But certainly mind the Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the chance just to come to church. Get to fellowship, get to hear from your word, get to hear a challenge from a great missionary, and bless us, dear Lord, in every aspect of it, we pray. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may be seated. I'm going to call business meeting in order. Nobody needs to leave. If you're a guest with us, you're welcome to stay.